Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to... I always start again. I've literally had like 2 hours sleep. This is a disaster. Hello. Honestly, this is going to be a long podcast, Tony.
Is it?
Hello, one and all, and welcome back to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the automotive and automotive social media worlds. I am Sam, your host, your presenter, and also the presenter from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass. This is... Go on, introduce yourself, Tony.
I'm Tony from Gravelwood.
Lord Tony from Gravelwood, the resident in-house car salesman slash expert. I've given you a big title there, haven't I?
Yeah,
I
really
built you up.
Much.
I know, I went a bit too hard. Sorry. Yeah. We haven't seen each other for a few weeks. So
I'm back.
You're back. You're back. A few episodes without Tony.
Only one, mate.
Was it only one?
Yes.
Yeah, again, I'm jet lagged. I've literally just got back from South Africa and Cape Town. Even though the time difference is only 2 hours, there's like a 12-hour flight. And the air stewardess decided that 3 a.m. was a really good time to wake me up this morning. Excuse me, is that orange juice? I was like, I mean, it's 3 a.m. Who wants orange juice at 3 a.m.?
Did you not fly business class?
I did, but they still woke me up at 3 a.m. I was like, I didn't pay for this, but whoever did would be cross.
I'm cross.
Yes. So I'm back, and we are now doing another episode of this podcast. Thank you so much to all of you who have been supporting this podcast in its early stages. If you are new, if this is the first time you are listening or watching, please follow us because we do weekly episodes. Even though this one is going out on a Monday, they usually go out on Sundays unless I'm traveling and too busy, as I have been recently.
Sunday evening
is the aim. So yes, if you're watching us here on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button and also turn on the notifications so that you know when these episodes go out. And if you're listening to us, hello everyone listening to us on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass or on iTunes podcasts, make sure you are following us as well for every episode. So
breathe.
Oh, I'm jealous. I made you a coffee and I kind of want one myself now and I've screwed myself over. Bit of a fail there, isn't it?
Mate, it was like you dragged it out the Thames. It wasn't great, you know, that coffee. It was all right, but...
I'm actually fuming. No. I call this Sambucks. No. It's not Starbucks, it's Sambucks.
It's not Sambucks, mate.
Basically, we're in my house today. Usually we are filming these episodes with Tony in his showroom, his dealership. But today we're in my house because, again, I'm limited with time. So Tony's very kindly come here and I made him a coffee and he's just slagged it off. So that's the last time I do that. anyway, any update on the showroom, by the way?
It's done.
It's done?
Yeah, it's done.
Finished.
Just like... posters and stuff.
You're joking.
And I'm waiting for my desk. But
oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
The boys are up there.
I'm going to film a whole like review film.
Yeah,
video,
you
right?
are. Proper reveal.
Done.
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be March.
Yeah. No, perfect. They're fun.
Future podcast episodes coming soon from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Yeah, in my office.
In your office. Lovely.
Got a cat and everything.
Oh, no, you don't. I wasn't going to come. I'd kick it. You know, my sister got another cat.
No.
My sister got another cat. Long-term viewers will remember that when I was living with my sister, she had a black cat and I hated it and I gave it the middle finger every video.
Yeah.
She's got another one. I mean, thank God I got out of there. / I love you, sis, if you're watching.
Yeah. She won't be watching.
No. Okay, we've got a bit off topic here and gone into life rather than cars.
Yeah.
So let's bring it back to what this podcast is supposed to be about, talking about the car world. And I want to kick things off with a behind-the-scenes discussion that Tony and I had that I now want to bring out and publicise.
Thank you.
In Cape Town, I was very lucky and got behind the wheel of 2 Aston Martins, thanks to Aston Martin Cape Town, Aston Martin South Africa, and Aston Martin. It was the V8 Vantage N430 edition, manual, but for me, more importantly, the V8 DB11. I loved that car so much that I texted Tony and said, Tony, I think I'm mad. I want to buy a DB11 V8.
And my reply was, are you mad?
I just unfriended you on every platform.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is, because a lot of you might not realize this, away from business, on a personal level, Tony is not a major fan of Aston Martins.
No.
I want to understand why.
Because they're old. They're expensive. the residual values aren't great if you buy new. I'm not sure about the new car, obviously the DB11. I've driven one, but it is a new car.
Sure.
But the old Vantage is fundamentally 30 years old.
But do you not think the value is in their badge?
Exactly. You're literally buying an Aston Martin for the badge. That's what I think.
Aren't you buying a Ferrari for the same reason? I know the answer.
No. You're mad. Are you serious?
Stop banging the table so aggressively. Sorry. I know we're in a new environment.
I'm fuming. But you're
There he goes again. You're going to keep banging. We're going to get weird noises on these microphones. We've got a new setup here. Tony's learning. Yeah. Anyway, but the thing is, right, so I've always loved, as you know, for those of you not watching, Tony just knocked his microphone over. Things are going really well today.
I'm jet lagged.
Yeah. So I was a huge fan of the previous shape Vantage, but I love the Aston Martin brand in general. For me, they're like the Williams Formula One team. Okay. You want them to do great things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just for some reason, as a Brit, I feel like this weird, I just want them to do great things. I wasn't a big fan of the DB11 when it first came out. And when I drove it, I was a little underwhelmed. But I really enjoyed this V8 DB11. And I think it shows great promise for the new Vantage. But I feel like you have this block in your mind about the cars from... did you have a bad experience? Did you ever own an Aston?
Yes.
Okay, which ones did you own?
So I've had a DB9.
Okay.
And I had a Vantage, a Sport Shift Vantage in 2013. It was brand new.
Okay. The way that you're setting this story up, I know it's not going to go well,
It was brand new. And the left-hand side of the car was different to the right-hand side of the car. In terms of...
What do you mean?
No. In terms of panel gaps and exhaust. One exhaust was looking at you and one was looking for you.
Oh, my God.
Like, they were just pointing...
Yeah, but, you know, like... I was going to try and find an excuse for that, but I'm not
there's
sure there
no,
is. I'm not
there's
sure there
no
is one.
Excuse.
I know that Aston Martin, you know, still... pride themselves on their sort of slightly handcrafted nature. You know, they sign engine blocks, they body chassis and things like that. And that's the sort of part of it. And it's a bit like when I went on the Rolls Royce launch and we opened one of the show cars and a few buttons didn't work. And the man very kindly leaned in and went, "Handmade, sir." Which I kind of loved because it's actually a fantastic excuse. Yeah. And I think Aston do still play on that. And I remember a friend of mine had a V12 Vantage S and it had a lot of paint corrosion. But for me, they're the kind of cars that you forgive that because of the way they make you feel. For me, personally, they just ooze this kind of... sex appeal is the wrong word, but just this Britishness, this cool, raw Britishness. And I feel like it changes the person I am when I'm driving that car. And I like that. Because the V8 DB11 is not that quick. You know, it's the AMG GT engine.
Yeah, it's not
and
even the GTS.
For £145,000, why are you not buying a GTR?
Yeah.
You know, like you're getting a lot more power from the same engine. Mm. So it's not that quick, but it's about the sort of way that you do that speed, the way it looks and the way it feels. And I love it. And I just find it weird that we're so different on this, but so similar about Ferrari, that a lot of viewers...
And most other cars, actually, as well.
Yeah. But most people feel the way that you do about Aston, about Ferrari, that you're buying a badge. That you are just buying something which fundamentally isn't the best car out there anymore. They break, they have issues, blah, blah, blah. But you're just buying the Ferrari badge.
But that's not been the case in the last 10 years with Ferrari. Maybe before, but the last 10 years. So everyone's different, but I like things to work, which is why I like Porsche so much, which is why I buy Porsches and not Astons, because they just work. They don't poo in value. I didn't swear.
Okay, no, thank you.
Thank you.
Because I haven't got a lot of time to edit this, so I really appreciate that.
I just like things to work. Astons don't work.
Surely that can't be a generalization. There must be good examples. Because I know people, I met a guy out in America when I did Vlog Angeles who owned like a freaking Gen 1 Vantage with the Sport Shift 1.
Oh.
And he loved it, mate. He loved it. And I was like, he was like 21. I was like, what a wicked car to have.
But am I spoiled then?
Maybe.
Am I spoiled?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm with you in the fact that they are old, you know. Like I think the DB11 is a step forward for sure, but obviously it's a lot of it is Mercedes parts.
Yeah,
the Vanquish feels old inside, and the old Vantage feels old now. But there's a character there. There's that which I think is missing from so many cars these days. As cars get better and better, I think they get more and more alike.
But I think Aston Martin now have lost their character a little bit because it's Mercedes.
Ooh, no, that okay. That's a very interesting point.
So now it's flip coin. That was the one thing that was going for them: looks, the feel, and the way they sound.
Sure,
but now they've lost that. I would give you that
they've lost a bit of their identity through the Mercedes partnership, but they've gained the reliability, usability. So I think they've realized that they had to give up a little bit of the character so that they could actually sell more cars. Mm. And so it'll be interesting. I would love to hear from an Aston Martin purist whether they're furious about that. But I do think Aston is now going to attract more customers. And I feel like the whole brand's going in an exciting way. Red Bull today launched their new car for this year. You know, it really annoys me. They always do it in this weird, like, testing livery or like, you know, one day livery. I'm just launch the proper car.
But it was stop messing around.
But it was all tied in with that Aston Martin partnership. So Aston Martin are tied into one of the best Formula One teams. They're doing the Valkyrie, which you all know is amazing. They've stolen Chris Goodwin from McLaren. They just feel like they're going in this really exciting direction. And so they're, for me, if that means the cars are going to be better and they're going to have a cooler brand presence, I'm not that sad if the cars lose a tiny bit of character.
Ferrari kept their character, though.
Okay.
So they make good cars now and they've kept the character.
But they've lost the Formula One. So, yeah, no. I agree. The 488, we found a way to bring it up. 488
chat. It's got character, mate.
Hashtag Sam and Tony talk about 488 too much.
Every week.
Yeah, every week. 488 update. But yes, those that haven't driven it would always slate a 488. But once you drive it, you realise that Ferrari have somehow, we believe, maintained the character of Ferrari. Which is a perfect segue to move away from Aston Martin and onto Ferrari. Don't be so rude.
I wasn't that hard, was I?
No, you're good. You're good.
Thank you.
And to move on to Ferrari, because since we last saw each other, I drove the Portofino.
You did.
A car which is, I think you could say, received mixed reactions from the world's press. And a car that is supposed to be Ferrari's entry-level car, but they are hoping retains a lot of the iconic Ferrari characteristics that we were just talking
about. So this is DB11 money.
This is £166,000 starting price in the UK. The minute you've spec'd it the way that any human being would want to spec a Ferrari, we're going to be 190, I think. So 488 well spec'd is 210, 220?
Coupe?
Yeah. From factory.
230, 240.
So, you know, because the thing is, a lot of these supercar brands, they price their cars quite attractively until you turn up and realize that doesn't include wheels.
Porsche and Ferrari are the worst out of
literally
as well.
The worst. Like, you just keep ticking and then suddenly the price is astronomical.
Yeah.
So I don't really take the list price as a consideration.
You can't.
As I say, Portofino is probably going to come out around 190 and a 488 is probably going to come around 230, 240. Yeah. So there's about a 50 grand difference somewhere. 40, 50 grand difference.
But that's gonna change again when the new 488 comes out.
Sure. So no, fair enough. But the point being that this is supposed to be Ferrari's entry-level car, as the way that the 570S is McLaren's entry-level car.
Okay.
However, Ferrari have decided that their entry-level car should almost be quite a tame, an everyday Ferrari. They've decided that if you're going to potentially come and join the brand for the first time, you're not worthy of the full Ferrari experience. You're not going to get a race setting on the Manettino. I was not happy about that. You're not going to get a hardcore mid-engined focused track car like a 570S or an R8 or a rear-engine 911 turbo. You're going to get a lifestyle GT.
But that's what it is.
Okay. Here's my question and here's my issue, which I touched upon in my video. As Ferrari obsessives, people that fanboy over what Ferrari is, do we think Ferrari should be creating a relaxed lifestyle convertible GT car?
Yeah.
Why? Because I disagree hugely.
Okay, so they already make a mid-engined nutcase supercar.
Agreed.
Right?
Sure.
They already make a front-engine nutcase supercar.
Agreed.
Or coming, 812.
Sure.
They make a four-seater version in the GT4 Lusso.
Which is a nutcase. Four-seater Lusso.
So let's make a run-of-the-mill entry-level car.
Okay, so you've literally summed up my entire argument right there, because you've gone nutcase 488, Nutcase 812, Nutcase Lusso, run-of-the-mill Portofino.
Yeah.
Why?
That's because that's what it
needs. Why make a run-of-the-mill car? Your Ferrari, you don't need to.
But that's what, no, that's what the brand needs. It that, needs that.
So their argument is that the customers of the Portofino, 75% of them, will that will be their first ever
their
Ferrari.
First car. And what's the age? What age the normal people buy Ferraris?
They wouldn't reveal those. Oh, what age would, I don't know. You tell okay. me. You know
so,
that.
Yeah. So an average age of a Ferrari owner is mid-40s.
Okay, fine.
Ish. So
this is supposed to target a slightly younger audience, do you think?
No, or? this is I think this is to target the older
okay,
audience.
A bit of a more comfortable a softer scenario. Well, it legitimately is an everyday Ferrari.
Yeah.
I think you could everyday a 488, but no one's that mad. This car is a lot more usable. It just is. It's just, you know, everything about it is made to be used every day. But that is what irks me. That is what I think is wrong, because it's a brilliant car and I can't wait for you to experience it, because I know you used to own a California T. It is such a leap forward from the California T and so much more exciting to drive, to be in, to be around. But it just doesn't feel like a true Ferrari to me. And okay, so let's think about FCA as a group, right? I'm going to say something a bit controversial now. I hope Ferrari don't always listen to this.
Please don't mention Maserati.
Okay, so FCA as a group.
Yeah.
Because they do have a big part to play in, you know, what of cars course. Get made where. If they're looking to make money,
yeah,
surely they go, why don't Ferrari create a Dino? Whether that is a baby 812 or a baby 488, but something that sits at a similar price point, £170,000, and competes with the R8, the 570S, the 911 Turbo, whatever, you know, like it's a mid-engine two-seat, or so either a V8 812 or a V6 488. You know, just an actual supercar. Do you know what I mean? In the essence of what a Ferrari supercar should be in my mind, and instead make the Portofino half as good as it actually is, charge 105 or 110 grand and give it an Alfa or a Maserati badge. It's too good for an Alfa or a Maserati right now. 100%, it couldn't be one of those right now. It's way too good. But I'm saying, therefore, don't make it that good. You don't need to, because it, to me, isn't. It's like an 8 out of 10 or an 8.5 out of 10 Ferrari.
Okay, so Ferrari can't make a £105,000 car because it ruined their brand.
Agreed. They can't. Totally agreed.
That's why people don't buy an R8.
But don't make a Ferrari that doesn't have a race setting on the Manettino.
Okay, I get that bit, but I think they've done the right thing. I think they make a mid-engine supercar at 150, 160 grand. No one buys the 488. They buy that instead. So are they then ruining the 488?
But the thing is, I'm not saying decrease the price point. I think the price point is correct. 166 grand onwards is correct.
Yeah.
But if you did a V6 Dino that was spec'd up and it came out 190, but was 100 horsepower, 150 horsepower less than the 488 and blah, 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 people would still buy the 488 in the same way that people buy the 720 and the 570.
But I think that's, going on to McLaren very briefly, I think that's McLaren's problem. I think they've got too many models.
Agreed.
So they're ruining their
for
brand.
Sure. No, I totally agree. I just, as a Ferrari purist, and I know that throughout the history, Ferrari have made these comfortable, accessible, sort of GT-ish cars. It just
they
was
make
missing.
Two of them now.
By the way, can you get a race mode on a Lusso or an FF?
I should know because I drove one around Fruxton's.
I'm gonna,
but
Google.
I can't remember.
Going
to
Google.
No.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about? You insane Hollywood ass." So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm sure.
Manettino, Ferrari. Because that's the other thing. I'm just suddenly going hard on the whole fact that it doesn't have...
You want Ferrari to make a car they're never going to make, mate.
Okay, so an FF doesn't have race either.
Oh.
What about
I thought it did.
GT4, Lusso. Interesting. And a Lusso doesn't have race either.
Okay, so that's good then.
Okay.
Because it all ties
I
in.
I feel a little bit like an idiot.
Okay.
But it's still, and you know what? When I had these feelings, I was a little bit. I was like, maybe I'm on an off day. Maybe I'm just not feeling great. It's
jet
a bit lagged.
Weird.
Yeah, jet lagged from a half an hour flight. But then I've read a few reviews since, some traditional reviews, where a few people have felt the same thing, that it's a better car in every way and it's brilliant, but it just doesn't have that little bit of specialness that a Ferrari perhaps should have.
But I don't think it should. I think that's perfect. And I'll tell you why it's perfect. Because you can't get one.
You can't get a Portofino?
No. There's an 18-month wait for him.
Yes, but this is the Ferrari. This is the big Ferrari. I mean, like, but it's because it's got the badge.
Yeah.
People would have bought it no matter what.
Yeah, I suppose.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
People would have bought it. It's got the Ferrari badge. And I think that's where Ferrari are what they're aware of. But it just feels like, to me, Ferrari, like, if you're not ready for a 488... then you're not ready for the full Ferrari package. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you want a Ferrari, come and buy a Ferrari.
But they're probably right then in that respect. As in, if you're not ready to go sideways at 100 mile an hour, because that's what the 488
does. Yeah.
Then we're going to make a toned down, softer, convertible.
Interesting thing is, I do think you could probably go sideways at 100 miles an hour in the Portofino. Like, this is what, don't get me wrong, this is what I've been trying to be very careful with and why I did the voiceover of the videos. The Portofino is brilliant, mate.
Yeah.
Like, it is epic. And when you start looking at things like Mercedes GTCs or Bentley Supersports or DB11 Volantes, it poops all over them.
It's gonna.
And it's the car that, you know, if you turn up in my house in it today, I'll be like, oh, sick. But there was just a something missing for me on a personal level.
Okay, but that's because of the way you're thinking about it.
Yes.
You're thinking of it as a hardcore...
Well, I'm just thinking is that what I want a Ferrari to be.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's definitely a personal opinion and a personal point.
Yeah.
And I think we should draw a line about under it.
I think so.
Because, yeah, we could go on for a while.
Yeah.
Ferrari's an easy thing to talk about. Let's move on to a car that you have driven whilst I've been away that I'm particularly interested in. And funny enough, JWW just uploaded a video on.
I saw, yeah.
The Porsche. Porsche. I'm going to have to read this because I keep forgetting the name. Panamera Turbo Sport Turismo.
Yes, well done.
Thank you.
Because that took me 3 goes on Instagram.
Okay, for those who are unaware of this car, please explain what the Sport Turismo is over a standard Panamera.
Okay, so basically it's a shooting brake estate version of the Panamera. The Turbo is the one down from the hybrid one.
Okay, the e-hybrid. The e-hybrid top one. But it's like in anyone, like a 911S, a 911 GTS, a 911 Turbo, this is the Panamera Turbo.
Yeah.
But so the interesting part is the Sport Turismo part, because I never thought the Panamera was that good looking a car. The Sport Turismo, I think, is stunning.
Me too.
And it looks like a traditional station wagon.
Yeah.
A la RS6, a la Lusso, or E63S.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the car. What were your feelings? What were your expectations? And what was it actually like?
So my expectations were, I knew it was going to be good anyway, because it's a Porsche. It will just be good. I struggled to figure out what its competitor was.
Okay. So what's its price point?
Exactly. So a spec'd one is around 150 grand. So that, okay, so that was my problem.
150 grand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, I went away from I had it for 3 days.
Okay.
So at the end of the 3 days, I went away thinking, I can't think about this car as a RS6 E63 competitor.
Because they are priced at...
Sub 100.
So, sub 100, okay.
Yeah, and you get some money off. Porsche don't do that, blah, 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 blah.
So what is its rival?
It hasn't got one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think it's out there on its own class, own...
its own segment. It's because I kind of thought to myself, it's a cheaper, not a cheap, a cheaper GT4 Lusso.
Wow, okay. But it's, that has four doors and a proper boot.
Yeah.
Okay. Because so it's that good. It's that quick. It's that...
Yeah. It's properly fast. It makes a nice noise. The V8 GT4 Lusso, obviously, not the V12. It is so lovely inside. And that's what made me think about the Ferrari, because it knocks spots off the Audi and the Merc in terms of finish. So it has got to be worth more money than them two. Obviously, because it's a Porsche.
Yeah.
So, I kind of went away thinking I'm not comparing it to them two.
Wow, okay. So it almost sits alone, but you could look at it, as you say, as a sort of cheaper opposition to the V8 Lusso. Does it feel big on the roads? Because it looks quite big.
It is. It doesn't feel any bigger than an RS6 or a... Okay. No.
Once you get going, does it kind of wrap around you in a nice way?
Yeah, solid. Yeah, sits planted to the road.
It's a big price point, though.
It's huge.
Because I do, as I've seen a couple cruising around London now, and I'm like, okay, I really like the way that looks, and it's a Porsche, and like, what a brilliant thing, and we all know my feelings about an RS6, and I was like, what a brilliant thing. But then, 150.
Yeah, it's a few.
And is that just because it's a Sport Turismo, or that's because it's a Panamera Turbo?
It's like, because it's the Turbo.
Ah, okay. So even if you've got the standard Panamera, you're looking at a similar price, we think?
No, I'm not sure if they're going to do a diesel.
Okay, I'm going to Google this as well, because we often talk about this stuff.
They're going to be $100,000.
Panamera Turbo. Panamera Turbo starts at 115, and Sport Turismo, let's see if there's actually a difference in starting price, starts at 117.
Okay,
so actually
fine.
Starting price is only a couple of grand difference. But obviously, as we've been discussing earlier in the podcast, spec is everything when it comes down to
Porsche.
Yeah,
so you easily put 30 grand worth of extras. But
for
you
things
can do
like
it on 9/11.
Sat-nav. We're not talking about carbon here, people. We're talking about sat-nav and doors.
And reversing camera and
reversing
stuff.
Which, you know, when you've got a car like that, you want.
Yeah.
It is hilarious the way the options work on some of these things. Okay, so that's one great Porsche that you actually have been driving since I last saw you. But quite... monumentally, there has been another Porsche that you haven't driven, but you got close to.
Very close.
That I think we've been talking about for a very long time, and every time we bring up, you slightly hyperventilate. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony went to the collection day of somebody else's GT2 RS.
I know.
Were you that sad on the day?
Oh, do you know what? Like, I literally said to him, like, I nearly kissed him. Like, I would have given my right leg, left leg.
Okay.
Like, it is unbelievable.
So tell me, how did you find out about the day? How did you get invited? What was the spec of the car? Just go.
So,
talk.
So coincidentally, the supplying dealer was the same dealer that I get my Porsches from.
Okay.
And I was visiting on the Saturday, and I know the salesman that was handing the car over, and he's aware of social media and whatnot. And he said, "Are you coming down tomorrow?" And I said, "Why?"
Yeah.
He says, "The GT2 RS at the back of the showroom." I said, "What?" It's the first one I've seen close.
Okay.
I said, "Let me see it."
Yeah. Let me drill on it.
Give me the keys. Yeah. So he wouldn't let me see it.
Okay.
Under the cover. It was under the cover.
Sure.
So I then, oddly, I don't know whether it was because of the salesman had spoke to the owner. The owner's on social media as well. He DM'd me and said, collecting my new car tomorrow. Do you want to come?
Oh my God, amazing.
Tom and Archie are coming.
Oh,
and
nice.
I said, yeah, sick.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I goes there. There was loads of people there. Tom and Archie were doing their normal.
Doing their bits.
Their normal thing, as they do.
But I'm assuming it started up.
Yeah.
How did it sound?
Not like a normal Porsche.
Really?
Yeah. And do you know what? Like it's the way it looked.
Yeah, okay.
Like
presence.
Like proper. Like you always think of Porsche of understated.
Yeah.
Like a Turbo S.
Of course.
Sits in the background. This thing looked
mad.
Mental.
Oh, wow.
Mental. The noise, the whole thing, because they can be a bit quiet as well. Porsches,
of course.
From GT product cars.
Of course.
But
the theatre of it was amazing.
The whole thing,
it?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the car,
yeah,
if I'm right, was black with the black stripes and a red interior.
So the red interior is standard.
Okay.
Most people, well, some people have gone for the red steering wheel, which is standard.
Okay.
So they had that black, which is what I would have had. I probably would have got rid of some of the red interior. I think it's too much.
It's a bit too in your face, right?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, but it had the Vizac pack on it, wow, and it was, and interestingly, it was less money list than my Purple Manti.
That, no,
that is how much the value of them is incredible. I mean, they're fetching fire. I mean, I haven't seen any on the market.
I did.
On the market?
Yep.
Okay, so I know of.
Just wait, just to clarify quickly for anyone who missed that, I have seen a screenshot of a GT2 RS listed on the UK market, delivery mileage, physical car. Take a stab in the dark.
So I know two that have changed hands off market for between 550 and 600.
Okay, this one was listed for more.
No.
You'll see, I won't be able to find the post now. Go on, take a stab in the dark.
Like ridiculous? Like
I
700
more?
No, yeah, he's having, he's just
740. I no, think. It was either just, 740 or 760 was the screenshot.
Yeah, he's just having a
no
step.
Pictures.
No, yeah, yeah.
But as you say, I think there's a lot of people who are just having a stab in the dark, like hashtag yeah, flipping, yeah, like you know, yeah, just yeah, go yeah, for it. And it will take a while for those figures to figure themselves out, pun intended, and people to work out what the value of them are. But no matter what, whoever's got one will be able to drive it as much as they ever like
forever,
and will make money.
If they no don't matter die what, in it.
If they don't die in it. I cannot wait to start to see some reviews of that car. They've got to be coming soon, right?
Well, there must be there's a Top Gear one coming soon.
There'll be
soon.
A Top Gear coming yeah, soon with Chris Harris, which I think we're all going to be
Grand
very excited
Tour
about.
Grand Tour one? Got to be.
I'm not going to be that convinced by Jeremy Clarkson driving a GT2 RS.
Really?
Oh, really?
But James May will drive it, though, because he's not a big Porsche fan.
Probably, but... If he drives it, are you going to take his opinion even more? Like I don't know. Like, I don't get me wrong. We talked about it before on this podcast. I'm loving season two of Grand Tour, and I haven't seen the special, the African special that they've done yet. But I'm not convinced that I would take Clarkson, Hammond, or May's opinion on a GT2 RS to heart these days.
Okay.
I think they go for the entertainment value. I think
they've lost their way a bit, you think?
A little bit. I think Clarkson's still great, but the fact that he went so nuts about a Tesla made me think that, he really went nuts about a Model X, and that doesn't seem
in a
very
good
Clarkson
way.
Yeah,
that's not him.
It doesn't seem very Clarkson.
No way.
To me. So I wouldn't. Chris Harris, can't wait. Jethro Bovingdon, if he gets it over in America, or Steve Sutcliffe,
yeah.
Alex Goy, or you know, there's a million people that I would love to hear their thoughts on that car. Definitely wouldn't be any UK YouTuber. If I get that car, don't listen to a word I say about it, because I'll just scream.
I'm coming. If you get,
if I get an opportunity, Tony, I've said this before. If I ever get the chance to get near one of those cars, you are coming with me.
Because thank you.
Okay. So let's just move on to wrap a few things up. We've been powering through, sort of catching up on our automotive news. Some future things, some things coming in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
First road trip in the 718 Cayman S.
Where are you going?
So I'm collecting the car on Thursday with its new exhaust, and I can give a sneak preview on this podcast now. The car is currently at GAD Tech, getting a custom system fitted. That was the route I ended up going down for the Cayman, because...
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, the guys basically came when I was getting the car detailed by Stuart F. on Wax. They turned up, they drooled over the thing. They're like, please let us work on it. I went down there. They were amazing. They talked through lots of different options, and I got sent this today, which is not the final system at all. This is before a lot of work needs to be done, but...
It sounds better.
It's meaty.
Yeah, that's
it's
better.
Meaty and a lot of turbo. Thing is, we're never going to get tone from it, but it's feeling meaty. So they're excited. I collect that on Thursday, and then I'm taking it to Barcelona for F1 testing.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot wait.
You're going to drive it there?
Yeah. So this is the kickoff. I mean, we mentioned it before again on this podcast. So please go back. Basically, if we keep referring to previous episodes. If you haven't heard previous episodes of the podcast, go back. You can find them on the YouTube channel or on SoundCloud or on iTunes. They're all listed on there. You can hear Tony and I talking about various different things. And one thing which we have talked about is the fact that we are going to be doing F1 themed episodes as soon as the season kicks off, post-testing, etc., analysing the F1 season. And so to start that, I'm going down to see testing, something I've wanted to do my entire life.
Oh, I thought
as
you'd
an
been.
F1
you've
fan.
Never been before.
Never been to testing. Never been to testing. So this year we obviously have the dreaded halo device, which I think is just going to ruin the aesthetics of every car. But the cars are starting to be revealed, and I'm going to drive the Cayman down there, spend a day, amazingly, with Red Bull. Aston Martin Red Bull.
This is why you like Aston now.
That's why I love Aston. Aston Martin Red Bull are going to be hosting me very nicely down at Barcelona. I'm literally going to spend a day there and bomb back. So that should be good fun with the car when it's a new exhaust. And it means I get to drive across the Pyrenees
yeah,
mountains
yeah.
with the new exhaust, and it'll be the first time I feel like I can really push the Cayman. I do loads of videos.
Good shout.
So that's coming soon. So that all kicks off at the weekend, and then straight after that I come back and I'm headed to Geneva.
Yeah.
I'm not going to reveal what car I'm taking there because it's not fully confirmed yet. So
you're driving.
I get the email back, but I'm driving.
Are you?
What are you doing?
Plane, mate.
Plane. But you're going Geneva.
Geneva.
Press days. The press days are preview days. It is the Tuesday and the Wednesday before the show opens on the Thursday. So sorry for anyone that might be going to Geneva during the motor show that aren't there on the press days. We won't be there.
No.
But if you're going on the preview days, the press days, come see us. Come say hi.
Sure.
We'll be lurking around. And then, of course, we've got to do a Thoughts from Geneva podcast, which will take...
Absolutely.
I think that'll be a special, don't you? That's going to be an hour-long special, I think.
Yeah.
We'll
do about the 488.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. The 488 special. So that would be exciting. But you're literally there for the two press days and then you fly home. Back to work.
We go out on the Saturday.
Okay.
I leave on the Wednesday.
Nice. Are you taking your checkbook? You going to buy stuff?
I'm going to come back and buy something, and I.
Okay, I hope so.
No, I am.
That will be the question. What car is Tony buying from Geneva?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
I'm going to see something,
can I? I can't wait. For me last year, it was the Brabus Smart, but I never followed through because couldn't find the number for another Brabus. But hopefully we'll find another car.
I'll get you the
number. You know what? Should we do that now? Should we just go crazy? Let's say we both have to buy a car from Geneva this year.
Yeah.
Like, whether it... Like, just do it.
You've already got something in mind, I know. As well. You have?
I'll do a little bit. Yeah, maybe. Nothing that special. I'm not Shmee, but I know a few things coming up that I could tickle my fancy. The last thing I need in the world is to spend more money on cars. Right now, I've got nowhere to keep them, but...
and no money.
I know something a little cheap, a little fun... That could be a cool summer car, but I'll keep shtum on that for now.
No, you can tell me after.
I know, we'll tell you after.
Sick.
Yeah, okay, perfect. I think that's going to wrap things up because I'm losing my voice from the jet lag and the travelling. And I've got a lot to do this afternoon before I go to Austria tomorrow with Bentley. Bentayga V8.
Oh, what if they done a shooting break? That compete with the Porsche.
Oh, a continental shooting break. They're not going to, are they?
I doubt it. But...
Well, I'm off to do the Bentayga V8. So.
Okay. Good car that. Driven it?
I love the Bentayga. I haven't driven the V8. I've driven the diesel. I've driven the full flat one. This is the V8.
Okay, I've driven
another
the diesel.
Bentayga. So, anyway, it's Austria. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Thank you ever so much for anyone who's been tuning in to watch us on YouTube. As I said at the beginning, make sure you are subscribing for weekly episodes. We want to get those subscriber numbers up, but we're hugely grateful for those of you that are tuning in and watching. And if you're listening to us, make sure you are subscribing or following, or I don't know what you do if you're listening to us, but yeah, follow us on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass.
Can you follow?
I think so. I'm going to go with that. And I guess subscribe or like or whatever you have to do on iTunes podcast to make sure you are getting notifications of our following episodes. If you want to follow Tony, it's Gravelwood Car Sales is kind of the best thing to search on various social media platforms, and for me it is Seen Through Glass. I think we'll leave it there.
Yeah,
thanks very much for tuning in. Catch up soon.
See you guys.
Bye bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.